Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Yeah, there should be a debate. They said they were going to do a debate. They didn't put out the criteria publicly. I don't think the RPOF ever voted on any type of criteria. I've heard secondhand what the criteria was. I wouldn't have qualified when I ran in 18 for what they were trying to do. And so,
yay, we're not going to have a debate for governor. A primary debate among Republican candidates. Because why would you have a political debate when there are multiple candidates in a primary season? I mean, obviously, Byron Donalds is the man and nobody else matters. So let's. I heard this yesterday and I thought, oh, come on. No. RPOF, really? The Republican Party of Florida, really? We're not going to have a debate when there's, you know, Fishback and Paul Renner and Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins and Byron Donalds, Congressman. And we've got, you know, four really serious candidates on the Republican side for governor. John, you've lived in America before, right? Or at least you've heard stories.
Yeah, I've heard stories.
Okay. In America, when we have multiple candidates for a political office and we have a primary for the Republican or Democratic side, what do we typically do before the primary?
We have a debate.
Oh, that's weird. So all the viable candidates, not necessarily all the candidates, because sometimes you got those weirdos who, them and their four people or, you know.
just file.
Yeah, they paid the fee or whatever. Okay, but, you know, there's usually a threshold, some percentage of the of a survey, some fundraising threshold. Maybe it's a number of support. And there's all different ways you can measure whether somebody is a legitimate candidate or not. And, you know, it's not that hard to figure out that these four are at least in the, you know, top level, so to speak. So, what would you be surprised if I told you that we're just not going to have a debate because it's done. We got Byron Donalds. My party, listen, I used to, when I was teaching, this is a long-winded story, but here goes. So I used to, when I was teaching ethics and logic, mostly ethics, but, you know, particular ethics, I used to do a whole week on human origins because my theory is if you're going to talk about moral obligations and you're going to talk about what is the purpose of a human life and what is a good life versus a bad life, then you ought to have some coherent story about where we came from and who made us or what made us or how we got here. Because, you know, if we got the short version is if we get here by random chance events, then there are no moral obligations, especially if the pattern of random chance events that produces us through a process of survival of the fittest is that, you know, whoever has the power survives. Whoever doesn't have the power doesn't survive. It seems like the pattern is strength is morality. Might makes right. You know, and it would seem like that would need an answer if you're going to believe in anything like traditional morality, because the standard, you know, survival of the fittest in nature would seem to indicate brutal oppression is the way to go. Like if murder's effective, then murder. If theft is effective, then thief. If rape is effective, well, gosh, you're making a lot of offspring. That's spreading your seed. That's more chances for your genes to prosper and survive in the world. I mean, you know, if you really think about the pattern laid down by evolutionary biology or the theory of it, the moral pattern you would draw for that would be really, really wicked. And so evolutionary biologists have always struggled to come up with a good explanation of why we're obligated to behave well when that's how we got here, which is a fair problem. Okay, or maybe you believe that there's some all-knowing, all-powerful, loving God who makes you in his image and expects you to do things right according to how he says the world is supposed to operate, and he imbues you with certain obligations, responsibilities, capabilities, and you're supposed to live according to those, traditional morality. Okay, you kind of have to pick, but those are the two going theories. I mean, there's some others, but, you know, giant turtles made on the back, the world made on the back of a giant turtle is not the best going theory. You know, there's some other theories, but those are the two main ones. And then we talk about the factual questions and the theoretical questions and what's science and what's not. Anyway, we did a whole week on this. And, you know, particularly as it regards ethics, you know, you got to pick because it matters. Okay. Well, we'd get all done and I'd have a lot of students, you know, who'd be like, man, I never heard anybody explain all this before. And they'd never, you know, not only the moral implications, but also, you know, some of the facts and the science and the reasoning and the not reasoning and the things that get said and the things that are not provable. Anyway, and they'd be like, and I think I believe in, you know, the creation story. You know, I think that story actually makes a lot of sense. I'm like, excellent. He's like, well, I'm gonna go tell my other teachers. I'm like, well, are you an A student? I'm like, oh, not always. I'm like, well, why don't you wait till you're an A student to tell them? Because otherwise, you know, if you're the C student, the D student who suddenly pipes up with, teacher, you know, it makes the whole group look bad. That's my long-winded way of saying this. If you're going to advocate for something, be a decent representative of the movement, okay? Don't be a scoundrel. Don't be incompetent. Don't make us all look bad with your dumb. So, Republican Party of Florida. Why? We believe in open conversation. We believe in discussion and debate. We believe in not only the First Amendment, but we believe in the idea that you should have to show yourself. And I mean, Byron Donald is a very capable person. I've interviewed him. He'll do fine in a debate. What is the problem? So Governor DeSantis, though I disagree with him about a lot of things recently, and though he's clearly saying this in part because his guy, Jay Collins, is struggling, and he doesn't want to come out and endorse anybody because he doesn't want to go against Trump, who's already endorsed Byron Donalds. I mean, we get all of this, but he's right. Why are we not having a debate amongst the four or three? I mean, the allegations that Fishback is anti-Semitic and so they don't want to include him and he was going to be at an event and he's not going to be at an event. I'm just, dude, just let the four top people, if there's a tear break, you know, let the top people participate, let them go. And then the chips go where they may. Maybe the voters decide, yeah, Byron Donalds is our guy. Maybe the voters are like, oh, I don't know about him. But that's why you have a debate. How can you have a, you can't have your pudding if you don't have your meat. You can't have your meat if you don't have your pudding. You know, you cannot have a nominee if you don't have a debate.
It's counterproductive when you try to engineer an outcome because you need a coalition of voters to do well. And this may be a tough cycle for Republicans if you look at some of the indicators, the way things are trending. And so having an open process and having people be able to have their say is always better than to try to engineer an outcome.
Yeah. If you think that Byron Donalds is so dominant, then let him be. Let him demolish everybody else. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. Maybe Paul Renner looks really good because Paul Renner's really smart. Maybe Jay Collins looks really good. You know, who knows? But this idea that you're just going to pick for us, weren't you the folks who criticized, like, the Democrat Party for ignoring Bernie Sanders and undermining him and giving it to Hillary and then for picking Joe Biden, you know, and then for picking Kamala Harris without even having any primaries at all? Isn't that what you guys all said? That's what I said. Isn't that what you said? But now when it's our people, no, it's just Byron Donalds, who, again, is a very capable guy. So what is the issue? Then, then you have Jay Collins, who was in town yesterday. John, have you seen this story? Do you know this story?
No, I don't.
All right. So in order to understand this story, you have to understand that Byron Donalds people were asked about this whole issue of why the RPOF is not going to do a debate. And their basic take is, you know, why do we need to? And one of the spokespeople for the Donalds campaign said, where was the actual quote? This is Gates McAvick, who is the communications director for Byron Donalds. There are no participation trophies in politics. It's not Byron's job to legitimize campaigns that have failed to gain meaningful support. Republicans are united behind Byron Donalds on defeating Democrats in November. And the RPOF says that their thresholds for success have not been met by any of the other candidates. 10% in a poll, $10 million in contributions, and 10,000 donors, which Byron Donalds makes and other people do not make. DeSantis said he wouldn't have made those in 2018. He actually was well above all of those thresholds in 2018. Okay, so the Donalds campaign has not only said no, but they've insulted everybody else and said that, you know, just because you decide to run for office doesn't mean you're entitled to a debate, which is your participation trophy, because we're going to clean your clock in a debate. So no. All right. So Jay Collins is in town yesterday, and you have to understand about Jay Collins. Jay was in the military, and if I have this wrong, please somebody correct me. But I'm 95% sure this is right. He was in the military, and he got his leg had to be amputated from war injuries. After which he went into the Green Berets. Like after that, he went into Special Forces and qualified and served in the Green Berets with a prosthetic leg. So when you want to talk about like accomplishment, military background, track record, all of that, you know, ability to lead, you know, of course, okay? So he's now Lieutenant Governor. It's an amazing story. It's a story that he does tell all the time, which is, it's an appropriate story to tell all the time, but it is a story that he always tells. Okay, so this question came up in his appearance at Gray Man Armory yesterday in Milton.
Byron Donalds refuses to debate.
I've heard that.
Yes, and he referred to debating you as a participation trophy. What is your thoughts about that?
Say that last part again.
He referred to debating you as a participation trophy.
Well, that's an interesting take, I guess. Let's unpack that just a little bit. Look, why is it that we want to have a debate? Who does that best arm? It arms the people. If you are so far ahead and you have all the money and all the endorsements and everything under the sun going for you, why in God's green earth are you afraid to debate?
Now, the theory of not debating when you're way ahead, like Trump didn't debate when he was way ahead in certain circumstances, is precisely because you only have anything to lose. But that's never a good look. Then again, it worked for Trump. So, but then again, we criticize them. We shouldn't be hypocrites, right? Okay. So he goes on.
I've heard him call for debates in other races around the nation and debates in this very, very state on other races. Why does he think it doesn't work for him? Why does he feel that he doesn't have to live by his own credence on those issues? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm 100% with him on this. He's right. It's a weird either hypocrisy or contradiction of what you said before. It doesn't make any sense. It's not how we do things, especially given that we so heavily criticize the other side when they do things this way. But then it got weird.
Oh, boy.
So Jay Collins, again, presented with the jab from the Byron Donalds campaign that letting somebody with very low polling numbers and low fundraising and low support, as compared to Byron Donalds, he is, and several others are, that it would be giving them a participation trophy to let them be in a debate against Byron Donalds, the front runner.
But, you know, the participation trophy is a little, I would say it's a little derogatory, a bit of a slap in the face. Now, look, I don't normally do this.
Reaches down, fiddle, fiddle, fiddle behind the podium.
There's my participation trophy.
He put his leg on the podium.
You want to know why we can do this? I participated. I did things. I stepped into the breach when he didn't have the courage. He didn't have the will. He probably didn't have the ability. The American people want leaders. They don't want people who are scared of their own shadow, unwilling to bait. Cowardice doesn't win races. Having the courage to act does. Next question.
Next question. Yeah, that's like a drop the mic moment.
So here's the thing. It's a great story. Jay Collins, it's an amazing story of persistence and will and service and devotion. But losing your leg in combat does not logically relate to whether you should be eligible for a debate for governor. And it's a non sequitur. Because what they were saying is it would be rewarding you for having run a very poor race by putting you up on stage, even though I think they should let the top four candidates run in the debate or be in the debate. But his military experience and his sacrifice, and it's a great story, it's not really a response, but it's a very tough guy braggy moment. And it is sort of a mic drop when somebody says you don't deserve to be in it, but your answer is, here's my leg. Used to be a leg. I deserve to be in. Because it doesn't really qualify you for it. And it's kind of a weird thing to bust out as the argument ender. But it did make all the news yesterday. This was the biggest story in Florida by far. I would be very surprised if this story isn't focused on by the late night shows, by Jon Stewart on Monday. I wanted you to know that happened in Milton yesterday with Bob Johnson and Chief Deputy Randy Tiff standing right behind him. Total poker face. I just watched the events. I'm Andrew McKay.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Woo! Summer's heating up and we're smoking at Sonny's. Our new summer menu is hot and your favorite barbecue bowls, they're back. How about our new Cherry Cola Pork Burnt Ends? Some brisket mac and cheese or slider trio. And finish your meal off with some cherry cobbler egg rolls. With 4 locations in the News Radio area, we look forward to slathering you with Southern hospitality. If it's smoking out back, it's Sonny's out front. Don't forget to download your Sonny's barbecue app for sizzling summer deals and rewards. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve. Especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions. Because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir, you.
Plastics.
There's life in the ground.
Have you seen the story about the Pritchard, Alabama former police officer? I think former. Gosh, I got to double check that to be sure. But who is now, they've got billboards and TV ads. If you've had any interactions with this man, call this hotline. He might still be while they're investigating. Pritchard police officer facing federal charges after investigators accuse him of abusing his badge to help drug dealers and violent criminals conceal evidence in a murder-for-hire investigation, arrange an unlawful traffic stop, and take bribes to keep people out of jail. Sworn officer since 2014, charged in a federal criminal complaint filed on June 12th, accuses him of conspiracy against rights, deprivation of rights under color of law, conspiracy to commit an offense against the United States, bribery involving programs receiving federal funds, tampering with evidence, and extortion under color of right. There was a 2021 shooting connected to a federal murder-for-hire investigation, and somebody asked him to retrieve video surveillance from a gas station that had evidence and make it disappear. And when investigators went, they saw photos and audio recordings related to the shooting on his personal stuff that they did not have in the case.
Fox News, I'm CJ. Papa Switzerland is the setting Friday for the U.S. to sign that peace deal to end the war with Iran.
Axios reports that within the agreement, there is an agreed-upon ceasefire across all fronts, including Lebanon. This also would include Iran reaffirming it will never have a nuclear weapon, and nuclear activities would be frozen during the talks.
As Fox's Trey Inks in Tel Aviv, President Trump spending his final few hours at the G7 summit in the French Alps in Georgia.
The state's Senate primary, the president's 11th hour pick, Republican Congressman Mike Collins. He defeats former college football coach Derek Dooley. Collins will go on to battle incumbent Democratic Senator John Ossoff.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff in Washington. Billionaire Rick Jackson defeats Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones. He'll run for Georgia governor on the Republican ticket. He will face Democrat Keisha Lance Bottoms. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now it's 76 degrees. We've got cloudy skies. We'll check our forecast from Channel 3 and meteorologist Brooke Richardson up in just a minute. Well, Northwest Florida is in for a soggy week, a developing tropical system, adding to the concerns there. The National Hurricane Center is tracking potential tropical cyclone 1 in the northwestern Gulf. Forecasters are expecting that to become Tropical Storm Arthur later today. A tropical storm warning is in effect for parts of Louisiana, with watch posted along portions of the Texas coast as well. Locally, the big threat is heavy rain. Some areas could see a half a foot or more through Friday. Residents, of course, should monitor the National Hurricane Center for updates as that system develops. Well, a portrait of Pensacola's most celebrated military figure has been removed from the Air Force Art Gallery at the Pentagon. His family wants to know why. General Daniel Chappie James Jr. was the first black four-star general in U.S. Air Force history. He was a Tuskegee Airman and, of course, a decorated combat veteran. He fought in three wars. The Air Force says the portrait was relocated during gallery renovations that began a few years back, and that there's still five other portraits of James that are still displayed in the Pentagon. James's granddaughter, Britt, says the family heard about the removal 18 months ago, and I've never gotten a clear explanation as to why. Chappie James is memorialized all throughout Pensacola, of course, through a bridge, a museum, the Flight Academy, and a state office building as well. 50 Pensacola Beach hospitality workers swapped their customer service duties for emergency response training yesterday as part of a new summer safety initiative. Hotel employees, restaurant workers, tourist attraction staff, all got together. They learned CPR, AED use, water safety, and how to stop severe bleeding. The training was led by Escambia County EMS and Ascension Sacred Heart. Organizers say frontline hospitality workers are often first on the scene during medical emergencies. Now, the Mobile County Sheriff's Office has taken over all law enforcement operations in Pritchard, Alabama. Now, this is after the federal arrest of a police officer from the Pritchard Police Department. Yesterday, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch told reporters it was a very fast transition.
We will probably be reinvestigating some existing cases. And as of a couple hours ago, we will be conducting all law enforcement operations within the city of Pritchard.
And police officer Emmanuel Dodge is accused of covering up evidence in a murder-for-hire case, arranging unlawful traffic stops, and accepting bribes to let people avoid arrest. All 911 calls in Pritchard are now being routed to the Mobile County Sheriff's Office while that investigation continues. We've got 76 degrees right now, cloudy skies. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at unsettled weather as we head through the end of the week. We will be looking at a 90% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today, high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Heading into Thursday, another high chance of rain day, 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 85. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 82. Going into Friday, we do have a 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 87. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now we've got Cloudy skies at 76 degrees. Our next news. In 30 minutes, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Paul Murray with your money now. Chiefs of the world's leading frontier AI companies, including OpenAI, Anthropic, and Google, are attending the G7 summit in France this week. AI risks, infrastructure, and sovereignty are all expected to be discussed at the conference. Commentators told CNBC that companies' seats at the table are a signal of the growing geopolitical influence of tech bosses. Intel has begun production of its most advanced chip node called 18AP. First announced last year, 18AP is now in what's known as risk production, an early production stage. It's the latest development in Intel's effort to become a manufacturer of chips for other companies. OpenAI burned through $3.7 billion in the first quarter of this year, more than half of its $5.7 billion in revenue, the information reported on the news. Earlier this month, OpenAI said it had confidentially filed for a U.S. IPO that a source said could come as early as September and value the company at up to $1 trillion. Futures are mixed. That's your money now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Tomorrow at 9, the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Opening Doors of Northwest Florida's Bruce Cady and Brad Bishop, Executive Director of Offensive Corp., their partner operating the new Santa Rosa County Bicycle Street Outreach Project. Opening Doors is the lead agency for the homeless continuum of care in our area. Don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9 with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida, sponsored by DeLuna Lanes, where it never rains and no one sits the bench.
Not everything is done yet.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
When will the strait be open? Was it open yesterday? Does it open on Friday? Does it open in 30 days? When will the assets be unfrozen? When will the naval blockade be dismantled? We don't know. And they're going to sign this thing on Friday. And, you know, Iran has released some version of it that may or may not be completely accurate. There's a lot of uncertainty in this.
Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative. Local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining me here in studio, I have Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, who always joins me once a week, and we get great information from him. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. We have, unfortunately, you know, some weeks are light, some weeks are not light. This is a not light week. We have a lot of things to talk about. We had a 29-year-old Pensacola woman charged with aggravated child abuse and resisting arrest at Oakwood Terrace Apartments. What happened?
Well, I mean, what we got a call that there was some children that had some injuries, so we obviously will respond. And we discovered that this woman, and we can't identify victims of child abuse, so I'm not.
So you can't say her name because got it.
It's widely out there anyway, but I cannot say it. So we get there and we determined that what she had done is had disciplined her child rather severely with a metal broomstick. And when the metal broomstick broke, she continued to discipline the child. And that the edges of that broken, now broken metal broomstick ended up cutting the children. Again, they're not life-threatening, fortunately, but yeah. But you know, there's a lot of wrong here. You can't do any of that, so she went to jail.
Corporal discipline is legal within limits.
You can discipline your child, right?
That's right. It's biblical. It's legal in Florida, at least. But there are limits, and child abuse is illegal and is wrong, and you have to know those limits.
Well, I mean, it's this reasonable person standard. Mm-hmm. Is that reasonable to think that, you know, you give your kid a whooping, it's not abusing them, and there's a difference there, and it's one of those things where you know it when you see it, and in this particular case, it was pretty obvious to our deputies.
We had a 47-year-old Pensacola man charged with attempted homicide for hitting somebody over the head with a bat outside the guy's home when he was turning the power back on, I think. Is that how this went?
Yeah, the guy went outside his apartment or his home, and then he was attacked by this individual with a bat. But he knew him. He identified him to us, and so we had, from that moment, we had been looking for him. He had some rather severe injuries from a baseball bat. Why he did it, I don't know. Again, we're not concerned with motive. We use motive as an investigative tool, obviously. Yeah. But why he would have done that, I don't know, and we have not figured that out yet. However, there were serious injuries from a baseball bat. We ended up finding the guy a couple of days later and charging him with that aggravated battery.
To me, a baseball bat is you kill somebody. Like, it's really dangerous. I mean, right. If you're hitting him in the head, obviously, you know, so, yeah, that's a deadly weapon.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the one thing about this case that I just was curious about is, do we know what the guy with the bat, the assailant, had he turned the power off to lure the guy outside? Do we know what was going on there?
Again, that's the thought there, that there's no other reason for his power to go out. So he went outside the apartment, and when you think about it, your power of deductive reasoning, something must have happened outside that lured him outside, and then he was attacked. So, yes, we believe that that's what happened.
I mean, it's a scary thing to imagine, but, you know, word to the wise.
He was an acquaintance, so was a beef of some sort.
Right. And then, but, I mean, you know, word to the wise, if something weird happens, it's better to have the ability to defend yourself if you're coming across. I mean, you know, you wouldn't normally think, the power went out in my house, first thing I need to do is grab my gun to go be safe. But, you know, outside your house, if it's at night, who knows? I mean, you know, you want to be safe in case something weird's going on, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my first thought is most people would probably check their breaker box, which is typically inside their garage or inside their house. In this particular case, I'm assuming that the assailant knew, you know, there may have been an issue with that power, and then also, obviously, the victim knew what to do.
Yeah.
We knew where to go to check his power.
You guys had an incident that began with FHP, and I guess FHP was pulling somebody over who tried to run a trooper over and then fled, right?
That's my understanding. The Highway Patrol asked for our assistance because they had that individual. He fled in the vehicle, and then he ran, apparently armed with a handgun. I think the trooper saw the handgun. And then he fled into an apartment in Carriage Hills. Luckily, it was his apartment. So we provided whatever assistance that was needed. Obviously, we worked very well with our other partners, certainly our state partners. And they had their SWAT team out there. They apparently the SWAT team from the regional SWAT team. I'm not sure if they call it SWAT team. Their response team.
Uh-huh.
And their barricade, their own armored vehicle was there. Happened to be in our area on that date. So they went to the front. Our armored vehicle and our Rook went to the back. And we ended up firing a couple of rounds. It was on the second floor of the apartment.
Tear gas or bullets or?
No, the gas.
The gas, okay.
We gassed the apartment. But the Rook allows us to lift up to the second floor window, which worked out very well. So we were able to pump a couple of rounds of tear gas. And after a couple of hours
it was like 5 hours, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a conversation. After tear gas, it only took about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Probably 5 or 10 minutes. And then he came out without further delay.
So that's a success.
I would think so.
I mean, if your job is to protect life, including especially the life of the people who are suspected of doing bad things, right?
Well, they had been talking to him off and on.
So yeah.
He'd break communication, then he'd get back in communication. I think everyone did a pretty good job of trying to talk him out. And then after a while, it's like, look, dude, you're going to have to come out. We can't wait forever. So then we tried gas, and that obviously worked.
That was very motivational. It always is.
Properly motivated, things happen.
We had a double homicide at the Hotel Del Sol on Highway 29, and you've now arrested somebody in connection with that, right?
It was a double shooting, a single homicide.
Oh, one single homicide. One was killed. Thank you for the correction.
One suffered relatively minor gunshot wounds. And he has been, as I understand, treated and released. So, yes, we had what we figured out was that there were three individuals in this hotel room, acquaintances of each other, and then for an unknown reason, again, we're struggling with the motivation here, too, one individual pulled out a handgun and fired and shot at both the people. The old injuries ultimately killed one of them and seriously injured the other. And then we figured out what he did is he took a backpack and he jumped over a fence to the north. And when he landed, it looks like he may have broken his leg or injured his leg, because you can see on one of our video cameras in the roadway that he's limping away from the scene. So much so that we found him at the hospital being treated for those injuries. And then we took him to the office, sheriff's office, and ultimately to the jail.
And so this is a drug deal. This is just friends. We don't really know.
There's a reason to believe there was a prior drug trade that had been discussed, but I can't say that's what started it or that was a retaliation for that. But there were drugs involved, but I don't know that that was the reason for the shooting.
Okay. Now, this story is awful. Somebody was killed. Somebody was injured, shot in a hotel. But this story has generated an enormous amount of attention online because the age of the person you arrested is?
He's 23.
There is no way on God's green earth that man is 23 years old. If he's a day, he's 50 at least. He looks older than me.
I'll be honest. When I first saw the
picture, this looks like an accounting error, Sheriff.
And I'm like, did we do this right? Is this the right person? I thought maybe it might have been a junior, senior type of a thing with the same name.
Right, or just some kind of a misidentification.
But it was not.
Or somebody typoed it, you know?
I can tell your listeners, those who look in and have the same thoughts that you did.
It shared 6,000 times, the picture. So not because of the crime itself, but because the guy...
All I can tell you is maybe it's the city years that have taken this toll.
on some people.
It happens that way. If you look back
John, have you seen this picture?
Okay, no, I haven't.
So what makes John the expert?
He's the unexposed audience, okay?
He's expert in traffic. That's so pretty much it.
Wow.
In music.
Super he does shade. Good music. Half the music's mine. Keyshawn Warren, date of birth, August 1st of 2002.
There's no way. There is no way.
That guy's at least
23.
All right, now we didn't carbon date him, but I will tell you that he is 23 years old.
Okay, you can only carbon date things that are dead. I don't mean to get technical on you, but okay, that's funny. We did not carbon date him.
But carbon date is kind of a sense where you can age something, determine when it was, how old it was. Never mind.
I think that might be my all-time favorite thing you have ever said on the show. We didn't carbon date him. Oh, my God. Okay.
But anyways, if you look on GeoView, there was a couple of years ago he was arrested. It's the same guy. Now, again, from 3-4 years, he has aged a bit.
Yeah. And look, I know the family of the victim is possibly listeners or lives in our community. We're not trying to minimize the crime. The crime was horrendous, but we all had the same exact reaction to this picture. Last thing for you. Not quite the last thing. You have Citizens Law Enforcement Academy coming up, right?
We do. We have one coming up in August. And
how many seats are available?
We have, probably 40 seats max. Okay.
How many people want to go?
Probably, I don't know, 300 people seem to want to go. Here's what happens. Like Dream Big program, the Blazer Academy, that when we announce them, they fill up pretty quickly. And then people say, well, I didn't know to look on my Facebook page on that particular date. And so what we have to do is pay attention to our social media, because we'll probably announce the opening here in a couple of weeks.
You're going to do it like a lottery?
First come, first serve is what we'll
end up. People going to camp out and wait for tickets?
No, I don't think it's quite this. It's not what Raising Cane's, whatever they were doing over the last couple of days. It's not that.
At a certain point, you should charge, don't you think? It costs your department money to put this on. And if there's so much interest, a little money for the foundation? No, can't do it?
Yeah, I'd rather offer this free.
Okay, all right.
To the citizens.
I'm just 40 people and 300 people in 40 slots is...
Well, 300 was an estimate.
Okay, but I'm sure it's not wrong. It's probably accurate. All right, so I had a listener tell me that they discovered you in action.
Oh, brother.
This was a week ago, last Tuesday, Bower Road, 10:15 p.m. after a traffic crash. They saw you out directing traffic in the middle of the road. True or false?
That's probably false.
Oh, just somebody looked like you? Your brother?
Probably. Oh, and I do have a brother, but that wouldn't
it wasn't
be him.
Ken.
No, it wouldn't be.
You
him.
Weren't. It wasn't
well,
you.
Well, here's a question. No, I don't recall doing that. No.
Oh, all right. I thought we had. Well, how long? I thought we had a good story. A week ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to take credit for it. Probably one of our hardworking deputies out there.
Many bald men look alike.
Looking all muscular. I don't know what that was.
Sporting four stars on his shoulder. looking all muscular and handsome. Like who?
You said it. I didn't.
All right. Anything else? You?
No, I think we've talked about quite a bit.
We have definitely done enough. This is actually, you and I had talked about this last week before we got in the air, and we did not get to talk about it on the radio. The frustration that your officers, that your agency experiences when you do everything right and the conviction doesn't materialize. Mm-hmm. There was a case where, here locally, you had a murder suspect who was on video confessing and got acquitted. Is that true?
Yes. Yes. We had an individual that was charged with killing his father. And on the video, the jurors heard him confessed, saying, "I shot him." That's basically what happened. And somehow he got acquitted.
And that's all you know.
I don't
know
all the details. We're looking into exactly how that happened. But there was a long conversation. And then a piece of which was... was able to be viewed, the judge allowed to be viewed by the jurors.
Yeah.
And in that piece, as I understand it, he confessed and still was acquitted.
Wow. What does that do to you guys, morale-wise?
Well, I mean, we are, certainly will, we trust the system.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We have to. And so we'll keep moving forward, keep doing the best job that we know how to. We don't always have to agree with the decisions that are made by by the jurors. We certainly don't have to agree with every decision made by a judge, if you recall.
Or the prosecutors.
Over the last couple of years.
Right.
Yeah, we've had some disagreements. But I think it's important for me as the sheriff to say, I don't think this was right. I don't agree with it. But again, we're going to move forward with it. We're not going to certainly not point anyone out specifically. You did this.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to know that we're out there working pretty hard, and sometimes it's out of our hands.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, which is ultimately all you really can do, but I can imagine it being pretty frustrating. Chip Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for educating us, keeping us safe. I really appreciate you.
Talk
to you next week.
Take care.
5:52 here on News Radio 92.3. We didn't carbon date him.
That was awesome.
Oh, I love that. It's fantastic. Hey, we're a new advertiser on the show, on the station, Ace Unlocks. It's the excellent company with the terrible name. And I say that because that's literally what Chris Roney, who's the owner and the founder, he said, the problem with their service is that people think all they do is unlock locked cars. That's what people think, which is how they started, okay? They started at UWF back in the late 90s, 98, and for $20, they'd come unlock your car. And when they started doing that for students, they thought, well, we'd get, you know, a couple a week maybe. They were doing like two a day, and they still do a lot of that. And they still, you know, charge only $25 to this day for students, try to make it affordable because nothing sucks worse than locking yourself out of your car. Anyway, but since then, they have expanded to do all kinds of things. And yes, they can still unlock your car for you, but they do everything connected with locks, cars, homes, businesses. For example, one of the things they do the most for folks is replace or program key fobs. So if you need an extra one because your car only came with one and you want two, or if you want to, you know, you broke it, you went swimming with it, you know, damaged it, it just doesn't work and you don't understand why, they have all of the exact same machinery, computers, everything that the big dealers use. So, you know, you can save a lot of money. I know I did because I had my fob replaced for my Civic with them and they did a fantastic job of it. But they do that. They, you know, broken keys, missing keys, second keys, whatever. They can take care of it. Residential, you know, rekeying your house, installing locks, doing keypad locks. That's something they do all the time. Even the app-based locks. So that's kind of a new thing where if you have people who come into your house like for doing services, but they're only supposed to be there at a certain time, you can actually create their permission for a two-hour window, let's say, during which they're supposed to be cleaning your house. They use an app. They scan in. They scan. I mean, it's really kind of a cool system. You can ask them about it. Same thing for if you need to replace a control module on your car. They do those. All that computer programming. Anyway, they can take care of all of that stuff. Ace Unlocks. You can check them out 24 hours a day. Anything you need, 505-7545. Or just stop by at 125 Airport Boulevard, right where Airport meets the train tracks.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
From the efficiency of American natural gas and the dependability of nuclear power to the strength of Florida's sunshine and the flexibility of advanced battery storage systems. At FPL, we leverage a diverse mix of energy sources to power our growing state, ensuring reliable, low-cost power whenever you need it. See how at FPL.com. FPL, working for you every single day.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You ever look at your bank account and think,
okay, that could be better?
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Out the field today. Hi, what's your name?
Skin Bracer Aftershave.
By Menon.
I know Nitzareb is John's favorite band. He's got a secret collection of all of their albums, including the alt indie stuff from Japan. It's 5:57.
Well, of course, I had to go there and get it.
5:57 on News Radio 92.3. Yum Brands is divesting Pizza Hut.
What?
You know, Yum is this massive restaurant conglomerate, and they own what? Taco Bell,
KFC.
Yeah, and I think Long John Silver's, or they did it one time. They may not still. I forget. I had a family friend who was owned a Long John Silver's franchise, a couple of restaurants back in Illinois. Anyway, they're selling Pizza Hut because Pizza Hut is, you know, underperforming. They think that they're not willing to be committed in the long run to make that work. So now Pizza Hut domestically is being bought by one entity, and Pizza Hut internationally is being bought by Yum Brands China, which is a spinoff of the old Yum Brands. Anyway, so Pizza Hut is getting sold. So
bring back the buffet.
Well, that's what everybody
game.
Says. But, okay, here's part of the reason that Pizza Hut is struggling. They're being killed in competition by Domino's because overhead for the store, because people don't go out to eat at pizza places. They just order it or they DoorDash it or whatever. Which, why would you DoorDash pizza? But I guess people, I am not an Uber Eats DoorDash person. I know people who use it all the time. And I just think,
I just see which
you're just like lighting money on fire, you know? But, yeah. Okay, fine, whatever. But I know it's very popular. It's fine. I know a lot of people make side hustle on that, so that's fine too. I'm not, you know, anti-capitalism. I'm just saying for me, it doesn't ever make any sense. It's never made sense. When they gave me like free $40, I tried it, and that was the last time I used it. Anyway, yes, I tipped. So Long Range Capital for $1.5 billion in the U.S. Yum China Holdings for $1.2 billion, the foreign overseas stuff. But yeah, they've been struggling, particularly against Domino's. It makes you wonder what might change. What they might keep, what they might get rid of. Pizza Hut's my wife's favorite, like, fast foodie type pizza, you know? And I'm with you. We all remember the buffet, but if people aren't willing to go to the store to eat anymore, then what you gonna do? Listen up.